As we were singing that hymn, I felt it helped a great deal, the text that we have this morning. And it's in Romans, we're going on in Romans chapter 8, and we have arrived at verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. They're lovely verses, but they're not very easy verses to explain. I will do my best. 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Before we come to the message, I was just thinking the aim of all this is that as I'm in this little pulpit here and you in the pews there, as well as worshipping God on the Lord's Day, what the various parts of Scripture are endeavouring to do is to help us to love God and to bring us to that place where God truly is our delight, where we want God above all else. And that doesn't mean to say that we become strange people. I think we become different people, but it is quite easy to see that our chief love is God, and that affects then all our lives and makes a profound difference. There are so many things to learn that help us, and we've been learning, haven't we, of shades of assurance in this passage of Scripture. Really quite tremendous, where he says there's a great difference by those who are led of the Spirit as those who are dominated by the flesh. Those who are led by the Spirit, they have been enlightened, they've seen their sin, they've been convicted of it, they've seen the glory and the wonder of the Saviour, and they've come to a place of forgiveness of sins. They are justified. As Romans 5 says, we are justified, we are right, we are accepted in the sight of God. There is also a tremendous encouragement at the beginning of chapter 8. Because we are forgiven, because we are clean in the sight of God, and because we have what we call imputed righteousness, that is, the purity of Christ counts for us, then there's no possibility of condemnation in the day of judgment. And those are very wonderful things. These are great and fundamental truths that we are familiar with. And then he goes on to say that in this also, that there is more on this level of assurance. We can say, well, I know I am saved because I have this experience of the forgiveness of sins, and I'm led by the Spirit of God, and in my life I'm led by the Spirit of God. But he has not brought me to bondage again. I become a recipient of the Spirit of adoption. I'm passive receiving. I become a recipient where every now and again a Christian will know of the embrace of God, where as a father taking a child into his arms, the child responds by saying, Father, Abba, Father. And then there is then the great one that we should seek for and ask for, where the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. High level of assurance, and gives great power and authority in preaching and in speaking. And then he came to suffering and said, very gently said, when you think of all this, and we do suffer, and yet when we put all our suffering together and put it on one side of the scales, we have to say it is in the world of moments. It is in the sphere of time. And however heavy our affliction may be, when we compare that with the eternal weight of glory, that we are joined, we are told in this chapter, we are joined heirs with Christ. The glory that Christ will have will be the same glory that we shall receive. That's a wonderful thing. And then it comes to that statement that we couldn't understand without saying joint heirs of Christ. We are heirs of God. And that the Godhead dwells in us. We are partakers of divine nature. It is so wonderful that it's almost, you might say, almost too wonderful to be true. And yet we're in this earth and in this body that is battered about by the events of life. And is so easily waylaid. We are in this body of frailty. And yet we have all that. And we have this weight here. We say, this weight is more than I can bear. Well, it is. It is more than we can bear. And then we look at the weight of glory. And then we see that we are joint heirs of Christ. Then we see that we are heirs of God. Then we see that we have the glory that is Christ. And then we begin to find that our affliction in that context becomes light as compared to the weight of this one, and momentary as compared to the eternity of the other. He's led us gently to that. He hasn't barged in and said, oh, well, you shouldn't be like this, you should be like that. He's led us gently, level by level of assurance, until he's brought us there. Now then he comes to talk about the matter of how we... There is something in our heart that we groan for. And I'll just refer to this ever so briefly. I'll read the verses. Verses 22 and 3. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. The whole nature, fallen nature... And we ourselves, although we are saved, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, although we are partakers of the divine nature, although Christ and the Godhead in that sense dwells in us, although we have all that, yet we are still in this body. And this body that bears the marks of the fall, that can have diseases and illnesses and weaknesses and death. So there is an incomplete, we are completing Christ. But there is something to be completed, and that in the second coming of Christ, the redeemed shall have a new body. A body, real, yes, not just a phantom, but real. If I dare use the word physical in a glorified sense, physical in that sense, real. Where sickness cannot assail it, where sin cannot tempt it, where death cannot touch it, where tears cannot be found, a new body. And we shall be likened to Christ, and yet we shall have our personal identity. And that body is ours, and there is something in ours that groans, that longs for that. And so sometimes when we feel that things are hard in this world, we then say, well, how wonderful it will be. How wonderful it will be when I shall be like my Saviour and have my new body. So we long, we groan. The creation groans. And if creation groans, then we should. Then we have got as far as that. Then he comes back then again. It's as if it were a digression, and yet it's not. It's another form of assurance, if you look at it carefully. He comes now to talk about the problem of prayer and how we bring things to God. And when sometimes we feel that we cannot somehow go from the groaning and the weight of this life and enter fully into the longing for God, that somehow we are held back, and then we say, well, I need to ask God about this. I need to pray. So we are there. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now we'll go that far. So my first heading is the infirm. Now it seems a strange thing to say. After we are able to say that we are complete in Him, that we are partakers of the divine nature. Christ dwells in us, Spirit dwells in us, the Godhead does, we are partakers of the divine nature, and yet to say that we are infirm. Yes, we have an infirmity. Every one of us here has this infirmity. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth also our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We look at the word infirm, first of all. What does he mean by infirm? He's speaking of weakness. He's speaking of lack of strength, which are not sinful in and of themselves. They are the consequences of the fall. He's speaking of our frailty. Or let me read you this sentence. There are certain weaknesses, lack of powers, certain disabilities and inabilities that result from the fall. So that we might say, well, yes, Lord, I appreciate the salvation. I long for the redemption of the body. But whilst I'm here now in this body, there are certain infirmities and weaknesses and disabilities in me that hold me back from pursuing many spiritual things. And we all know this. We're not talking now of indifference. We're talking of that we desire to go on with God. We want to love Him. That hymn that we sang, it's a very convicting one. Teach me to love thee as thine angels love. Now, to say that, do we mean it? Do you want to love him like his angels love him? You might say, well, I'm surrounded with this, I'm afflicted with these infirmities. And I find because of the weakness and the tiredness of my flesh, the wearisomeness of many things, that I cannot go on as I would desire to go, and as I know that I should go. Now, it entails, yes, the physical and the spiritual here include many things. It covers a wide range, and it results in lack of understanding of spiritual things. It arises from weakness, tiredness, illness, and there is a close relationship between mind, soul, and spirit. It results in dullness and lethargy regarding spiritual things. So you get hold of your Bible, and you say, I don't know. I used to get a lot out of it. Oh, I know that story, I can skip it. Well, I think I've read enough now. A kind of a dullness. Or you furiously read chapter after chapter, and you still find there is a dullness. What does this dullness arise from, this lethargy arise from in the Christian? It arises from his infirmity. And it's something that we must acknowledge that we have. The Bible tells us we have this infirmity, this wearisomeness that belongs to us. We are compassed with infirmity. So we might say, well, here I am in this glorious chapter, and you've just taken me almost to the very portals of heaven, and now you tell me that I have infirmities. Yes, you might say, well, I began to realize that after the week, as you told me, that we were joint heirs with Christ, and that we were heirs of God. I was over the moon, you might say. Well, higher than that, I was over the galaxies, and I was almost in glory itself. I was almost there. I was almost there, and then I found that when I came to read and to pray, I found some difficulties. Now, that's the area that we are looking at. So the Spirit helps. Now, the word helps there is not a very good translation. It is a good translation too. It depends how you take it. If you only take it as the word, I'll give you a little bit of help, then it is a weak word. Then if you take it in a powerful way, then the strong word, the Greek word, has aspects to it, and they are these. It has the word, the overword assistance or help, and then in that, togetherness. Togetherness. Taking over. To take to itself. So what the Spirit's doing here, he says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So he says, I understand now the realm that you're talking about is your communication with God. And there are times when you find it difficult. There are times. So the Spirit says, well, I will come alongside you then. We shall be together. Now, it's as if I were in this pulpit now, and upon my little shoulders, there was a very, very heavy weight. Or upon your little shoulders. A heavy weight, and I say, oh Lord, greater than I can bear. My infirmity cannot really cope with it. And I groan now, not groaning for the redemption of the body, but it makes me groan because I find it hard. Just a moment, says the Spirit. Stop for a minute. Let me take it off your shoulders, and I will put it on mine. And let me put my arm on you. I will take over. I will take you, and together we will do this thing. That's the word help there. Very lovely, isn't it? That's the word help. He will help us. So the Spirit will help us in our infirmities. There's cooperation required. You might say, well, I don't want your help, thank you very much. I prefer to remain in this state. And you know, sometimes, I'm thinking now at random, you know, sometimes you can be angry about something and somebody really takes the fuse out of the anger, but you still want to go on being angry. You know, I can remember once when we had a prayer meeting here, and oh, it's about 10 years ago, and I was feeling very down about something which I've forgotten completely about what it was now. You know, try and remember last year's worries at this time. It's very difficult to remember precisely. You try it. Well, 10 years ago, there was something overwhelming me. And I was remote. The prayer meeting was going on. And at the beginning, there was a reading by, I've forgotten who read, but the reading was for me. And I knew it. I said, I don't want it. I don't want it. I feel grumpy. That's the nearest word I can get to it. And I'm going to be grumpy. I'm determined to be grumpy. And God was equally determined to ungrump me. You see? It's a strange thing, it's a spiritual life. We're infirm. We even sometimes don't want. But the Spirit is so kind. Like, come now, come now. And he puts his arm around us. He says, give me that weight. I know it's heavy. I know. Give it me. And he takes it. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. That should help all of us. All right? It should help all of us, every one of us here. Then he says, you see, you've got a problem. Have I? Said, yes, you've got a problem. Your problem is prayer, but I pray. I'm not backsliding, I pray. Yes, I know you pray. And he says, putting himself in my place, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, I say, that's not fair. And he says, yes, I agree with you. You know what to pray for. You pray for the good of the church universal. You pray for the church that is here. You pray for as a corporate body. You pray that you might grow in grace. You pray that people might be converted. You pray that the backslider might be healed. You pray that the hard hearts, cold hearts may be made warm. You pray all those things. You pray, yes, those are the things you know about. But there are times sometimes when you are in such perplexity, you don't know what to ask for. And you don't know what to pray. Now he's referring to that kind of area. When the weight is such that we are confused in our thinking. And we will pray and then we say to ourselves. And we'll even say to our fellow Christian. I really don't know exactly what I should pray for in this situation. And I'm concerned about it. Yes, the Spirit, quite right. You know not what to pray as you ought. Now then, is there such a thing as praying for the wrong thing? Well, we know how many things we know that are right that we should pray for. Well, let me give you a mistake that Paul made. And it's in the Bible. Now, that shakes us, doesn't it? A mistake that Paul made. Moses made one too. For this one thing, and he'd been in the seventh heaven, you know. For this one thing, I besought the Lord thrice. And if we ask him, what was it, Paul? Go on. Was it some secret sin? He would say, don't be a little busybody. People have been speculating about Paul's frailty thorn in the flesh ever since I know. And I think it's beautiful that we're not told. For this one thing, I besought the Lord thrice. Three times I've asked him, really asked him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. I asked him the first time. Do you know what he said? My grace is sufficient. Paul didn't learn his lesson. So he went a second time. And he says, Lord, this one thing, this thorn I've got in my flesh, I'd be a better worker. I'd be a better thinker. I'd be better everything. I want to be rid of it. So yes, I'll give you an answer. Right, I'm waiting for the answer, Lord. My grace is sufficient for thee. But I don't want that answer. I want the answer. I'll take the thorn out. So he came a third time. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, then when he began to see that he is praying for the wrong thing, he realized that God had a purpose in this. And so he contented himself. And a true Christian will, this is what Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Let me be in this terrible infirmity I have, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. This I know, that whether I pray rightly or wrongly, he is with me. And when I am weak, I am strong. But he didn't know what to pray for. The answer is in the context. He was not to pray for that thorn to go. The answer is there. We know not what to pray for as we ought. So here we are now. We have the Holy Spirit telling us that we have our infirmities. We agree. And so when we feel that we are so infirm, he comes alongside. He helpeth us in our infirmities. He takes the load, the weight. There's a togetherness about it. And he comes with us. And then he says, you know what? You don't really know how to pray. How dare you? You're not right. Surely, Holy Spirit, you're not being very fair there. Oh, yes, you pray correctly, this, that, and the other. But there are times when you are praying, really, and you're not praying as God would have you pray in that perplexity. And we're speaking now of special times of great perplexities that you and I can go through. So next, the Inspirer, the Holy Spirit. Now we have an advocate in heaven, we have an advocate here. The Holy Spirit comes to our aid, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now the word groaning here is used in a different way, for a different purpose. Now then, somebody now is going to make intercession. Where? Well, I could pray in the realm that I knew. I pray for those working for the in the sphere of God's work and so on. Pray for the church, young people's work, Sunday school and so on. I knew how to pray about that. But when it came to this area of perplexity, I needed the Spirit to come alongside me and take the weight upon his shoulder. And then he tells me, you don't really know what to ask for. But I tell you, I am also your advocate. But Jesus Christ is my advocate. Yes, he also is on the right hand of the Majesty on high. But I also am your advocate here. And I help you to pray. Now, it is not the Holy Spirit that groans. Because there is no need for the perfect Godhead to groan. But he's doing something very similar, you see, to the previous verses. Where the Holy Spirit puts into our heart. It comes from us when we say, Abba, Father. But it is the Holy Spirit. We were passive recipients. It was the Holy Spirit that puts the word, Abba, Father, into our hearts. And so you might say, it was the Holy Spirit that said, Abba, Father. Yes, in a way, except it was the work of the Spirit to inspire it in our heart. So now, he inspires something else. What does he inspire here? He inspires another kind of groaning. Now, what is this groaning? It can be described in this term, wordless groanings. Now, some people have tried to interpret this as very, very deep feelings, profound. Now, you might say, the Holy Spirit did that. They're his groans. Yes, in a way, but it was the Holy Spirit coming to me and placing it in my heart. Pray for this. I have no words. Never mind. It can be a divine, wordless groan that comes from your heart. A cry almost, O Lord, be merciful. And in some glorious, invisible way to our way of thinking, a prayer is presented. Let me give you an illustration which I saw. In most cases, we know what to say in this life we live in. But supposing there was a court case, and a very complicated one, and so we hire an advocate, a solicitor. And he comes along, and I'm chattering away, and he says, well, if you put it like that, that's a very clumsy way, and you're not really putting it the right way, you're going to confuse everyone. Now listen to me, you told me your story. Now I will tell you what to do. And he does two things. He tells us how to tell our story, truthfully, but he tells us how. And also he speaks for us. The Holy Spirit, on occasions of great perplexity, will put the groan which is wordless, which is the telling us how. Let me put it in your heart. It's from me, but let me put it in your heart, and it will be understood in glory. And then let me speak for thee as well. That is what has been said here. It's a very wonderful area of prayer. Christ is our advocate on high. Thou art our advocate within. O plead the truth and make reply to every argument of sin. We are the infirm. He helpeth our infirmities. He is the inspirer of our prayer. There is a togetherness in this prayer of perplexity. Where, like in Paul now, he really didn't know how to go about to pray about this thorn. And the actual thing was that this thorn was meant in that particular case. To keep him in his place, probably, we don't know. But sometimes we pray in the wrong way. In times of great stress. So the Spirit says, now listen, let me help you. And I will put a prayer, wordless in a way, and yet full of meaning. Almost a groan, and yet a plea to God, and God will hear. And let me plead for you too. But I am also the intercessor. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now what are we here? He's looking at this area of prayer and he's saying, He, that's God. God that searches the heart. This morning, the God who searches my heart and the God that searches your heart. He knows everything in my heart. That's the beginning of that verse. It does belong to that one, you see. He is the God now in heaven, and as we pray and as we go on with the things of God, He knows my heart, and there is nothing in me that is not known to God. The same with yourself. He searcheth my heart. The God who searcheth the heart. He also knows the mind of the spirits. So God the Father now knows my heart. He knows the mind of the spirits. Because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what is here now? The Spirit is making intercession for me. Sometimes He's giving me the wordless groan. Other times He's speaking on my behalf. But every time He's speaking a prayer which is the will of God. Now do you see what kind of prayer this is? It's a remarkable thing. It's for times of great perplexities and problems where we don't really know what to ask for and where to turn. And then the Spirit hears our cry and draws near us in a special way and says, I am your advocate. I will give you the words. Well, I can't find words. Never mind. But let your heart long for God. And you'll find that there will be wordless groanings here, but precise words up there. But this is, and I will also speak for you. The marvelous thing is this. He knows your heart and He knows my mind. And indeed He knows that the prayer is really born in heaven, given to me to put in you, and is acceptable in the sight of God. Why it is like that, I don't know. I only know that God cares enough for us to help us to pray in such times as perplexities and difficulties. This experience of our infirmities and this assistance of the Holy Spirit in this kind of time of prayer is another proof that we are the children of God. And that is what we want to know over and over again. Yes, that we are thine, thine, and thou art mine, mine. And so that I grow in grace, understand partly the beginning, these profound things, and then the Holy Spirit enlightens me, and then I understand quite fully. And so we go on. And here I learn, yes, I can understand that. There are times I can pray, I know what to pray for. But there are times I don't know how to pray. I am in such anguish and agony. And then he says, you know, there is a special means of grace for that. The Spirit has a special work for that. He will put in your heart a groan, a wordless sentence of prayer, which is full of meaning in glory. He knows your heart and He knows my mind. He really, it's according to the will of God. And you will pray not contrary to His will, but according to the will of God. Do you know these things? Oh, how stubborn we are. I think of myself, you know, how often stubborn I have been. But this I have find. Always, because I am a Christian, always I must submit in the end. And the sooner we submit, the better, to the absolute authority of our great God. He designs and desires our good. We have been prepared for our death. Yes, we are equipped for a godly life here. We have been prepared for our glorious entry. You see, God is looking forward. We might say, yes, I want to grow in grace and I want to hang on to this life as much as I can. Fair enough, that is our natural feeling. But he says, shall I tell you this? I am looking for that time when I can welcome you home. And when you're here, you'll understand. You'll understand. And so begin to long a little for these things. For when you come to glory, you'll see the beauty of holiness. You see holiness now. But you'll see the beauty of holiness. And you'll see the wonder of it all. And you thought you were alive before. Yes, you had spiritual life. But when you enter into glory, you had no idea it could be like this. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. A sovereign protector I have. Unseen, yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, Almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comfort abounds. Right, isn't it? I feel like that, you know. He smiles, and my comfort abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. But you remember this verse, inspirer and hearer of prayer, thou shepherd and guardian of thine, my all to thy covenant care, I sleeping and waking resign. If thou art my shield and my sun, the night is no darkness to me, and fast as my moments roll on, they bring me but nearer to thee. Kind author and ground of my hope, thee for my God I avow, my glad Ebenezer set up, and own thou hast helped me till now. I muse on the years that are past, wherein my defense thou hast proved, nor wilt thou relinquish at last a sinner so signally loved. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, O lead us on. And where sometimes in this epistle that is so clear and also so profound, that sometimes if we find it difficult that we might come to that place where we might see it so clear that it is again a work of the Spirit to put clearly into our minds what thou art saying to us. Lord, lead us on. And if we are neglecting, if we are, O Lord, lacking in love towards thee, lead us on. O grant us this, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.